Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Room.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
Sharded with Amber. Today on Sharded. It's season 2 of Radio Dale, and we're here with episode number 53.
Yay.
This week in music history, Radiohead lets you name your price.
On Who Charted, the campus charts are back from the holidays.
Rear's tip of the week is build a newsletter.
For the roundtable, our predictions for 2014.
And our song of the week is Why It's Always Tonight.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. That is a statement, not a question.
Oh, good. Yay!
This week in music history, on January 9th, 1976, Queen were at number one on the UK singles chart with Bohemian Rhapsody. The single enjoyed a 9-week run on the chart, selling more than 1 million copies by the end of the month.
A million copies.
Yes.
It's the big time.
Yes, way to go, Queen.
January 10th, 2008, Radiohead topped the US album charts with a physical release of In Rainbows, originally sold via the internet for a price chosen by fans. The album sold 122,000 copies during its first week of release, giving the band its second US chart topper following 2000's Kid A, which sold 207,000 copies.
All right, January 11th, 1964. Louie Louie by The Kingsmen was the number one song on the US Cashbox music chart. For a while, the record was banned by a handful of US radio stations because of its indecipherable lyrics, which were rumored to contain some naughty words. Even the FBI investigated the song, but concluded that they couldn't find anything wrong with the song, and I have it on my iPod, and I have no idea what the guy is saying.
When I saw the attacks open for the Hives, they sing Louie Louie, and that
Did
coupled
sing
with
anything?
A Danish accent.
Oh, they should have sung it in Danish, so people just don't know.
January 12th, 1969, Led Zeppelin's debut album was released in the UK. It was recorded at Olympic Studios in Barnes, London. The album took only 36 hours of studio time to complete at a cost of just £1,782. Most of the tracks being recorded live in the studio with very few overdubs. And then it went on to spend 71 weeks on the UK chart.
Crazy. January 13th, 2005. A report showed that more songs had been written about Elvis Presley than any other artist. Listed over 220 songs, Graceland by Paul Simon, Room at the Heartbreak Hotel by U2, Calling Elvis by Dire Straits, and on. Oh my lord, there's so many.
Lot.
Oh, but I like this one, My Dog Thinks I'm Elvis by Ray Herndon.
I'd like to listen to that when we're done.
Yes, let's do.
We will do. January 14th, 1969, born on this day, Dave Grohl.
He's so old.
Happy birthday. Born in 69.
So he's 44, 45?
Right. And he's still cool as hell.
Yeah, 44. Good for him.
Good job, Dave Grohl. Happy birthday.
44 is not that old anymore.
No.
Now you're only old if you're like 60.
Yeah. 40's the new 30.
Rock stars. They can live forever.
I like to think 40's the new 20.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
January 15th, 1958, the Everly Brothers made their debut on British TV, appearing on The Perry Como Show.
Which is fitting because of the passing of one of the Everly Brothers this week.
That's true.
Yes, so they just made their debut, how many years ago?
58.
Not 58 years ago, but 1958.
So let's move on to what we used to call This Week on the Charts. But is now,
Who Charted?
It's so cute. So, we took a break from looking at campus charts for a while, and they actually took an official break if you're looking at the earshot charts, because they don't do it over the holidays since it's campus and there aren't enough people around. So, their last official report was December 17th, except for the one that just came out on Tuesday, January 7th. So, we'll just go through the top 10. Number 1 is Dog Day, Fade Out. Number 2, Still Arcade Fire, Reflector. Number 3, Yamantaka / Sonic Titan, Yuzu. Number 4, Shad, Flying Colors. Number 5, Touch Age. It's really hard with Shart. No!
Yes!
The ear shot chart.
Ear shot chart.
This is the best name we could have come up with for this thing.
No, I was trying so hard.
Okay, we're good, we're good.
See.
I act like I'm going to edit that out. Anyways, continue. Tough age.
Number 5, tough age, tough age. Number 6, free love Fenner, do not affect a breezy manner. I love this
That's
name.
That's an awesome title.
That's fantastic. Number 7, Ryan Hemsworth, Guilt Trips. Number 8, Blood Orange, Cupid Deluxe. Number 9, Haim, Days Are Gone. And number 10, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Give People What They Want.
Hmm.
And so there was a good run. Songs, or albums, numbers 1 to 7 were all Canadian, and then just 8, 9, and 10 were international. So
nice.
That's really awesome.
And Haim is that's a really good album.
Yeah.
And I believe somebody else is on the list who's awesome.
We love the Strumbellas.
Yay.
And they are number 20 this week.
Awesome.
So congrats to the Strumbellas.
Yay!
Yay! And Tough Age, I believe, did a pinball session. So.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug for the pinball sessions, pinballsessions.com.
Shirt.
Anyways, I guess with our new format, we should maybe just do a quick 30-second thing and say, if you may notice, we have a new format for the show. We're doing things in a much more roundtable-y manner. We're sitting around, we're chatting as it goes on. So hopefully you find that interesting and let us know if you like the new season approach of season 2, episode 53. Anyways, we're having a lot more fun apparently too.
Rue is.
I'm having a lot of fun watching them struggle. So Rue's tip of the week. This is similar to the old tech tip, but I was going to suggest this week that it is important to build an email list and send out a newsletter. And the main reason I'm suggesting this is a lot of people are finding it hard to follow stuff on Twitter and Facebook because there's so much flying up your screen at all times. So having a lot of fans on Facebook, say you have 1,000 fans, you may only be reaching 50 to 100 of them with each of your posts at best. Where if you're building up an email list, every time you send out a message to let people know about shows or new singles or a video you've put online, you're actually directly reaching all of your fans. So it's a good idea to look into things like Tiny Letter or MailChimp, learn how to use them to send out messages to your fans, and actually start using those emails you've been collecting at shows or online for the past couple of years or however long you've been together, actually put them to use and send messages directly to fans. Because that's the best way to reach them directly.
I think it's so true, though. Like, I always click emails that I get from artists or from, like, things that I've actually signed up for because it means that I'm really interested.
And it seems that very few people actually take advantage of it.
Right.
So it's time to take advantage of your fans. That is my tip of the week. Anyways, I think it's time to call in Dale, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's time for the roundtable, and Dale has joined us.
Yay! Yay!
And we are going to be talking about our predictions for the music industry, whatever that means, we'll see, in 2014. And this is kind of neat, too, because I think overall we're not 100% sure what everybody else is predicting.
Yeah.
Might have a general idea, but we're not exactly sure what the predictions will be, so you might actually hear sounds of surprise. So
shock and awe.
Shock and awe. So my prediction, I'm going more along the tech side of things, and I'm going to predict that music messaging will become very popular in 2014.
What's music messaging?
Well, as we all know, people share things on Facebook and Twitter, but there's an increase in messaging apps similar to AOL or ICQ or the old chat apps that people used to use, but on their phone, and people are talking to each other like text messages, but it's more like a group chat, and things like Line, WhatsApp, Kick, MessageMe, these apps are becoming very popular, especially in Asia, and the next step that is being announced, Line is starting something called Line Music, and WhatsApp is adding a music element to it, and it allows you to share music with the people you're chatting with. So it's kind of like a Spotify, But instead of having to go to a separate app to listen to the music, you're within the one you're already using while you're talking to your friends. Mm-hmm. So they're becoming basically media portals around the world. There's a new one called MIG 33 in Singapore, which is like Twitter, but you get to do 300 characters instead. And it has a very strong music focus where artists are actually building up communities there rather than on Twitter. And it's sort of threatening to things like Spotify, obviously, but it's also going to be a big threat to iTunes because you'll be able to purchase music within the app you're already in.
What?
So instead of having to go to iTunes to find music, you're chatting with somebody. Somebody says, here's a song, and you can buy it directly there or just stream it. Now, keep in mind, Shazam, that thing that allows you to identify music, it sells about 500,000 songs a day. People clicking that buy on iTunes. So they're allowing the same thing in line, music discovery by scanning a song and telling you what it is and buy it. So I predict 2014, music messaging is going to become a big deal.
That's very cool.
That's that interesting. Cool.
Interested.
Woo! Amber, what's your prediction?
My prediction, I guess, is focused a little more on the future of commercial radio. It's something I've commented on last year when I attended the Canadian Music Week radio panels. And one thing that was really made clear was just the seemingly dwindling future of commercial radio, AM, FM is what I mean, when it comes to the competition of streaming radio, whether it's Pandora, RDO, Spotify, Slacker, the upcoming Beats radio, which is Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, their streaming service that's coming, and their connectivity in cars. Because what a lot of services are now doing, iTunes or Apple or whatever, and Spotify and all of these services are now in car dashboards, as well as other apps that are being created, much like the one I learned about today called Aha, which basically is a portal where it can give you anything you need when you're in your car at a touch of a button, whether that's your news, traffic updates. If you're hungry, you press the I'm hungry button. Restaurants come up.
What?
Yeah, and then it also connects you to thousands of radio stations, whether they're radio stations like AM, FM, or a streaming channel. I'm still learning a lot more about it, but these are a lot of the things that are making people at AM, FM radio worry, or at least people are trying to make them worry, because it's something you have to pay attention to. Obviously, it's a lot bigger in the States, because here in Canada, we don't have a lot of streaming. We have RDO. And a few other ones, but we don't have the big players like Spotify or Pandora or any of those yet. But it's pretty inevitable they're going to make their way. iTunes Radio is not here yet. But these are all things that are threatening the life of commercial radio in a car, because on average, I think it's 2 hours. People spend 2 hours in their car commuting every day.
Wow.
So back, what, 10, 15 years ago, if you wanted, even a little bit now, but less than ever, if you wanted to get your traffic, you go to your AM station on the 10s, you get your traffic update.
Traffic and weather together.
Where now, it's a touch of a button on your on your computer. You can even, who knows, the voice-activated stuff's going to come in too, where you can say, bring up my traffic update for the 401 West.
Yeah.
And there, you're going to have it at a touch of a button. So the problem is commercial radio right now, they're not interactive in a car.
Yeah.
They're on a station, they have their formula, so it's the struggle of how are they going to survive. And I know there's a lot of panels, Canadian Music Week and the Country Radio Seminar, which is happening in Nashville, and Canadian Music Week happens here in Toronto. I took a look at some of the panels that are happening at these, and Canadian Music Week, there's the Connected Car, Dash to the Future, and Creating a Digital Pathway. Both of these are focusing on the future of these radio stations in cars and digitally and things like that. And then at CRS, with Canadian or Country Radio Cinemar. Wow, English. CRS, the Country Radio Seminar. The one panel I thought was really interesting was the real relationship between radio listeners and today's technologies, and that's focusing on the country radio format and the listeners and their behavior with technology and how they react to it, and comparing it to people that aren't fans of the country radio format. So I think my prediction is that I don't think any major changes are going to happen in Canada specifically this year, but car sales are rising. More and more streaming services are being made available. More apps are being made available to make your life in your car a lot more on demand. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just going to see a lot more people within the AM/FM world working towards a solution. I don't think the solution is within this year.
Yeah.
But I just see a lot of eyes opening up.
Okay.
And people really trying to come up with content. How are they going to get themselves on demand in cars? How are they going to create unique content and things like that?
I really like that.
Do you think that there would be a way to stream your local radio station in your car when you're out of the area? So, like, say you're in L.A., a way to stream CFOX so that you still...
Well, AHA, which is this one app that I found or saw, can do that.
Yeah.
So
that's
I'm
really
able,
cool.
like, so Rue downloaded the app today, and there's a station in Cleveland, Q104 Cleveland.
Yep.
You're able to click on that and listen right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That means that stations would have to be playing a lot more local things and local content to differentiate themselves then from...
And the one thing that Rue did was he clicked on the Chum FM in Toronto. But it showed you the song and the artist, but it didn't give you buttons that said, you know, today's Toronto news, today's traffic in Toronto. You know,
so I don't know if that's something the station has to do or if it's sort of gradually pulled in.
Broadcaster has to do that.
Yeah, I figured they would have to.
And you would think in today's day and age of Bell Media and Rogers, you'd think those companies would start dealing that. I guess it comes down to how much money does the radio side bring in overall in order for them to pay attention
to
that.
Effort into it. Yeah,
so that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question? Do we know why there are more car sales?
I think it's just population demand. I don't have the answer, but I just think
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
because the car market went out in the tanker a few years ago until they bailed it out, and then now you're saying there's more cars being sold.
Yeah.
So
there's always a weird reason, because I remember reading that the industry right now is in trouble in certain parts of the states because a hurricane would come in, trash everybody's car, they'd all buy a new car, and now suddenly everybody is out of the car market for a while because they all have new cars. So you have years afterwards where people aren't buying a new car. So like weird things will lead to sales dropping.
Disasters and things like that.
Anything can lead to it going up or going down.
Now, one of the things after there was the whole, like the car sales dipped, remember they started almost giving away cars?
Yeah.
Is that, would that have effect on it? Where like they've really made it more enticing for you to buy a car?
Well, zero down, zero mortgage, or zero whatever, payback, right?
Yeah, the deals are pretty crazy. And I think it's more attractive now too, especially if you're going to get a car with your dashboard that's anything you want is at
there.
A touch of a button.
Yeah,
amazing.
Which it's terrifying, but also exciting. Like I'd love to have a car that I can just, rather than twisting through the dial.
Will that cause more accidents though? Is that in any...
There's hands-free options. That's where I think the voice activated stuff. I know I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're driving and you're like poking buttons, but I believe there'll be a voice act, like a Bluetooth, because you can connect through Bluetooth and I forget the other word they use, but it's just...
Wi-Fi?
Yeah, well, Wi-Fi is in some cars.
Yeah.
The one issue is if you're going over a bridge or a certain area, you know, and you drive through the prairies, you lose service on your cell phone, so you're gonna lose
service on your
streaming radio, your internet, or whatever. So,
which might mean that satellite radio might become a bigger deal also in the future.
Well, I read something saying that satellite actually there was like some sort of offer has been put out to purchase Sirius. And then I read an article that was saying they should probably take it because
their life expectancy is short is what you're saying.
Well, that's something
that
I read on
that's
one
what
thing,
you read, right? Okay.
But but who knows? I mean, maybe they're gonna step up their game.
They might have to.
It's true. Might change it up.
Well, everybody has to.
Everybody has to.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting to see out of the streaming services who survives and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Like we said, there's Beats now coming out by Trey and Jimmy Hammond. So.
I guess that's an overall 2014 prediction.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
my prediction is uncertainty once again.
Yeah.
In the radio world, because nobody has the answer, someone needs to jump and make the change, but. Mm-hmm. to make radio more on demand. But
well, and my predictions are of some uncertainty also, because mm-hmm. I'm basing my predict, and I'm going to predict on formats, whether it be country, alternative, or rock. Pop, I won't touch. So the predictions I'm going to make is as follows. I believe that we are starting to hit a curve, or about to hit a curve in country radio. We saw some examples this year, and I'll use a Canadian and an American. We saw Dean Brody release a song called Bounty, which did good in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Number one,
right? So that helped us, I think, in Canada, and helped change the face, because that song wasn't exactly traditional country in any way, which way.
Mm-hmm.
But then Eric Church's The Outsiders did not do very good business at all, because it was such heavy rock. So, but then when you go beyond that, and then you talk about, we listened to country radio yesterday, and we listened to a Zac Brown Band. Everything else pretty well sounded the same.
Yeah.
Everything sounds the same these days. And it's not so much of a prediction. And I love the fact that, because I love country music and country radio, but I hope that country radio and musicians embrace some change so that they can keep their format at the high levels that it is, as mm-hmm. opposed to live off of the, and no offense to the Georgia Florida lines or the possibly Brett Kissels of the world, or some of those other derivative tracks, or who's that Blake Shelton, the guy that with the Catfish song?
Oh, Luke Bryan,
you know, yeah. Like, I think India made mention of him yesterday, that he doesn't even have much of a voice. Well, she's very right, I have to say, you know. So what will happen in country radio and in music will certainly determine, because it's been on a high for a long time, mm-hmm. for quite a few years, and we know that things curve out. Right,
yeah.
The circle's coming around. So, what will pick up that slack? And I don't see anything out there. Rock is really in a dismal sort of place. Although some of the projects we have coming out are very rock and roll.
Yeah.
So we're thrilled about that, because I think rock's looking for rock and roll, right? Which they haven't had for a long time. When it comes to alternative, I personally am not a fan of that format, and I believe that pop genre of alternative will change itself. We saw it many, many years ago, just before Nirvana came out. There was that whole wave of pop stuff that was going on.
The new wave stuff?
Like the new wave stuff. Yeah. And then we had Alanis Morissette, and then we had the Cranberry sort of stuff, and that sort of poppy alternative. And then they switched that to modern rock, mm-hmm. you know, and then it was some heavier stuff. And then we had the you know, you think about Nirvana, the Limp Bizkits, that sort of genre, rap rocking,
yeah.
you know, it's kind of like, whereas when you listen to alternative radio now, it's very light and fluffy, and that there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But I see that changing sooner than anything. And will anything emerge out of that to be a, you know, to be a statue, or should be the leader of? I don't know at any genre there will be any more of those.
Yeah.
I think we'll always have our Taylor Swifts of the world, you know, our Beyoncés, but you can't really name a country artist right now who's an overall artist, like, besides Taylor Swift, who's a pop artist now. Can we name a country artist that is, like, rules the world right now? Not really, right?
No.
And you think of alternative, too. It was Mumford & Sons, Lumineers, and then there's Lord Comes and Goes, right? But then what else is there? There's
and
a
like
bunch of other stuff.
Dragons, those are like the four big names for the last little while.
Yeah, but yeah. they're not worldwide names, right? They're not the ones that are making those critical acclaims like some of those pop artists, those two or three pop artists that do, right? So I'm hoping that my prediction is that I hope things change and evolve for the betterment of music. That's what I hope for.
Yeah.
But I do see a curve in the countryside of things. Maybe this year into next year for sure, and I see rock changing for sure.
Cool. Yeah. It's a refreshing prediction.
I read an article early this morning that they were predicting that country would become more pop and pop would become more country, I guess, because they were looking at people like Florida Georgia Line. Dale's always talked about that gap between country and pop. It's interesting.
I want dance music to become more country. Avicii already started it with that song. It sounded like a Western song. Next step, banjos in rave music.
Done.
India.
Hi. So my prediction has sort of more to do with artist awareness and the business side of things. Mm-hmm. Because my personal belief is that some of the bigger name artists are like a little ignorant to what's actually going on, and they're not so in tune with the big, with the business side of things. They're just, you know, they make lots of money, so that's okay with them. But in the past year, last year, Elton John and Lady Gaga split from their management. So I feel like this year people will be more aware of maybe how they're being manipulated by labels or management and maybe controlled and want to change that a little bit, you know, for the sake of themselves and, yeah, just be more in tune with what's going on. So I think that there might be more business things like that going on.
I think it's cool that...
Well, and I think it's cool... I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
I think it's cool because the business of the industry of the music business has to change,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I think artists have to be more business-minded to understand.
Exactly.
And I think by Lady Gaga firing her people because she didn't do well on Art Pop, is that the name of her album?
Yeah.
Right? Even though there's lots of people who like it, there's lots of people who don't. But to sell as many records as she needed to for her critically acclaimed record is almost impossible. It's kind of looking like you look at Robin Thicke and he's steadily been growing. Blurred Lines, huge, massive. How can he replace? You can't replace that.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So it's not so much that we need him to have another big song that's going to have everybody wooing and awing about it. It's about what does he do next that's interesting and, you know, interesting and musically inclined for him. I mean, I just saw him recently on The Real Husbands of Hollywood, which is Kevin Hart's show.
God.
You know, and it's kind of like, so he's sort of figuring his way into the world as he became a star.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the music business is changing, hopefully for the better, for people to take control of their own funds, their own future, their own publishing, their own copyright, and it's only getting messier out there when it comes to those sort of things and those sort of rights. So business is, I think, never more important. That's a great prediction.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to broadside you all with a question, and I'll answer first. You have seconds to try to think of an answer.
I love it when you do this.
But prediction for 2014, what artist do you think will release an album that will excite you? My example, I have two. Alt-J, who was one of my favorites, released one about 2 years ago. I think it's time for a new album. The other one, Carly Rae Jepsen. I want her to follow up, and I want to see what she's going to do.
Oh,
I think, because keep in mind, she was doing stuff long. She's been around for 7 years before Call Me Maybe even came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think she's going to do something not as poppy. Or if it's poppy, it's not going to feel like she's just trying to copy what other people are doing.
Yeah.
I think she's going to do something a bit out of left field.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know U2 is coming out with a new record, so thumbs up. Yay, excited for that one. I want new Coldplay.
Hmm.
I want, because that last album,
Viva La Vida. There was one after that?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's on my phone. It has a weird name.
Milo Zolito.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Milo Zolito or whatever. It was hot and cold for me.
Yeah.
And I have loved Coldplay from the beginning. So I would love to just, because the song they have on the
Hunger Games soundtrack
really I really liked.
It was really good.
So I have high hopes for these guys.
That's
come back with an album that blows me away.
Excellent.
I think that Jack White's going to do a rock album that's, like, insane.
Oh, cool.
Because his last album was very alt. So I feel like this time he's going to do something that's more
White Stripes-y. Gotta love a guy who mixes it up.
Yeah. And then I also feel like there's going to be another, like, legendary band comeback. Not comeback, but remember the Rolling Stones did their thing? I feel like there might be a new Stones record or an AC/DC album.
There is an AC/DC record coming for sure.
There you go.
There is it. You know what? I have to tell you, I don't have any expectations at all about anything that's coming out. I have to say, though, that what I did find out in 2013, which humbled me completely and I appreciated, was that I cannot cast off any artist without seeing them live.
Hmm.
And I did that with Gregory Alan Isakov, and I went and saw him live, and he it's a little depressing. He's a little depressing after a while, but... it's not because he has depressing music,
yeah.
It's that's his style. But what I went away with was two songs from his, and one of them called Universe, which is my favorite song of the year.
Hmm.
Wow.
And he blew me away so much because I saw him live, and then I got it.
Yep.
And I really listened. And if anything that I would like to do is, I'd like to find some more great you know, of that chill EDM music that I like to buy and then listen to at the Lake House because I love doing that. And there's so many of those artists that really thrill me and excite me. And I just hope that there's just more great music. And I wish there would be more great metal.
Nice.
Metal music. Yeah.
Because there isn't a lot. It's not that there needs to be a new metal band or an old metal band, but there isn't. And I don't need anything astronomically cool. But when I first listened to Killswitch Engage, their very first record, it was mesmerizing. And I would like to have that kind of record blow me away totally. Hmm. But I don't have any aspirations for that, and I hope I can find that.
Yeah. Nice. And I'm definitely another band from looking at their vinyl above our desk here is Arkells.
Amen.
I can't wait to hear what those guys come up with next.
And or that other guy, Danko Jones.
Yeah, he's got a new, he's going to be working on stuff too.
He's kind of prolific in that way, right? Yeah. He does that sort of stuff.
He's always got some really good songs. Legs. Go look it up. Danko Jones Legs.
Check out the video. You have been warned.
Oh, 2014
predictions. Here we come.
Yay! We'll have to do a Did They Come True episode.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Who was wrong and who was right?
Who was right and which albums actually came out. And that has been Season 2, the first episode of Season 2 of Radio Dale, episode number 53. You can find us at dalespeaking.com. We're at dale_speaking on Twitter. We're on Facebook as Dale Speaking. We have a new video. Video Dale, episode 1, is on youtube.com/dalespeaking. And we'd love for you to check that out and tell us what you think.
Yes. It's also a 2014-focused video.
Yes.
It's 13 questions musicians should ask themselves in 2014.
To prepare for the year.
Whatever.
Yeah, totally. So we'd love to hear what you think about that. Any last thoughts?
Have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year.
Yeah, just be inspired and get shit done.
Nice.
There you go.
Like, I'm not even going to censor that. We're keeping that in.
Yeah.
This is the uncensored year. We're not censoring this year. No more beeps. The beeps are only for comic effect from now on. Should we bring back the thunderclap? Thunderclap!
But there's a thunderclap. And this week's single is from Wyatt. These guys are from Saskatchewan. They're an awesome country band. We've seen them live. And this new single is called Always Tonight, and it's from their most recent album called Should Have Been Here Last Night that they released in October. So here you go.
Crazy, come on and lie, but until then, baby, there's always fade.